thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Three Beards Soccer Podcast. I am Tom Miller here with Ken Lee. How are we doing, Ken?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
And Tyler, as always, behind the glass. How are you, Tyler?
I am wonderful, sir. Thank you.
We are in an off week for the actual Premier League, but the transfer window shut just a few days ago. We're going to cover that and go over the U.S. and their disappointment. We also have some fan mail for Ken, which we're going to touch on. Always love to hear from the fans, especially when they're targeting Ken.
We'll see.
So we're going to start right away with the transfer window. And winners and losers, I just want to touch on each team individually, Ken, like mainly the highlights of it.
Yeah.
We'll start with Chelsea, since they finished first last year, number one and won the league.
I don't mean to cut you off. Can we start with who had the best window and the worst window and then get into it?
Sure,
I'm just curious to see what you two think.
Of who had the best window?
Best and worst, yeah.
Okay, the general consensus is that Manchester United had a really strong window, and I would agree with that. I don't know if I could say it was the best window, though.
I don't know. I would disagree. I'd say they had at least a whole head above the rest of the clubs in England, head and shoulders above the rest, the best transfer window of any club. There's no question in my mind.
Yeah, no, I think they finished it early, which is a really big deal. They got all their players in. They said they wanted one more, but they spent a lot of money. I think it ended up being
$150.
More.
I mean, of course, you always want one more.
Yeah.
They didn't need it, though.
They didn't need it.
Scrambling around on the 31st like all these other idiotic teams.
It does help, though, that they started 3-0. It makes everything a lot better. All of a sudden, your window's better, etc. So,
of course.
Whether or not I would be saying the same thing if they weren't 3-0 is another question, but signing Lukaku, Victor Lindelof, and Modric, Lukaku signed for about £70 million, which is, I mean, especially as the window went on and after the Neymar transfer, £70 is unbelievably agreeable. In terms of value.
Yeah, who would have thought in the beginning of the summer that $70 million would have been cheap?
That's what ended up happening. So
they're giving them away.
As Dembele goes for 100, Neymar goes for 180 or whatever he ended up going for.
And they try to get Coutinho for well over 100. I mean, what's Everton doing? They're giving their players away at 70.
Yeah, apparently they're giving them away. We always discuss this. You don't want to be a part of that mad scramble at the end. United were nowhere to be seen on the last day, nor did they say they were going to be. And at 3-0, it doesn't look like they need to be as of now. They also signed Ibrahimovic. Granted, he's not going to be healthy till December or January. It would be nice to have him now, but his knee...
Does it count as a signing if you release him and then change your mind? I guess, yeah, technically.
It's noteworthy. It's not really a signing, but it's noteworthy. But the Lukaku, Lindelof, and Modric, especially Modric, looks like he jumped right in. Lukaku jumped right in.
Yeah,
and United are rolling in a way that Mourinho wants them to be playing, especially with that defensive midfielder coming forward and, you know, intercepting everything and starting the attack. So I think United was a winner.
All right, the worst. Go to the worst.
You want to do the worst?
Well, I need the best. If I'm going to have to choose the best, I need the worst, and then we'll jump into it.
Yeah, it's hard for me because I would say that Arsenal had a miserable window, but at the same time, if they can get Sanchez to play for them, then I think they didn't have the worst window. I don't know. It's really tough for me. I guess Arsenal for me, just because of them being 1-2 and the way the fan base feels, and I'm around you a lot, so you kind of represent the fan base. but the way the fan base feels, I guess it has to be Arsenal for me in terms of the big teams that had a bad window.
Yeah, if we're going to go worse, I think it was a toss-up between Arsenal and Chelsea. But Arsenal definitely wins just because of what you just stated. We've ended up with two players that don't even want to be on the club. And our last day signing that turned out to actually reject us in the end. So we're We're looking pretty bad. We'll get into it when we go into the transfers. But, I mean, good God. It couldn't be worse for Arsenal.
I just have to say I agree with you guys, or with you, Ken. I think Chelsea, I was so disappointed. Besides Morata, which I think is going to continue to shine all season, but letting Matic go to Man U.
Worse than letting Matic go.
Stupid.
Worse than letting Matic go, having Lukaku and, for all intents and purposes, Ox, like, snuffed right from underneath of you, stolen like a thief in the wind, basically, from you, from two massive rival clubs, is even worse than Matic leaving.
Yep. Yeah, the only thing I could think about with that is that those guys, plus Ross Barkley canceled at the last minute, too.
Well, I would like to take a minute to talk about this joker. This guy, he's in a special zone of his own, Ross Barkley. What a moron. Oh, you want to do this now? We want this now? Yeah, I heard some silence. Let's go to Everton. Let's just start with Everton. Because Everton's on the brink of, you know, are they going to break into the top six? I personally don't think so. But you've got Ross Barkley, who comes out at the end of last season and publicly states, I'm not going to sign a contract extension. I want to make this much wages. I don't want to play for Everton. I'm bigger than the club. Yada, yada, yada. All these months go by. Months and months and months. The summer goes. He goes to the beach. He's in his Speedo doing what he does, doing what all these Europeans do, tanning, doing all this stuff. Meanwhile, crickets on the front of who wants Barkley. Not a team in the world wants Ross Barkley. And the only one that doesn't realize it is Ross Barkley. Now, last day of the window, August 31st, Chelsea comes up and says, you know what? We've had a for crap window. My name's Antonio Conte. I'm signing somebody. I just had Oxlade-Chamberlain stolen from me from another rival. And now let's go get Barkley. We'll pay the 35. Do I believe he's worth it? And this, I didn't talk to Conte. I just think this was going through his mind. I don't think he's worth 35, but I need a signing. He goes and has the medical, and then he changes his mind. What kind of buffoon does that? Now he comes out and says, I never took the medical. The club is saying I took the medical. So now he's in more of an issue with the club. They're in more discontent. They already stated they didn't even want him. They're going to let him go, but you're going to go for 35. Someone comes in and offers it to him, and then the player changes his mind. It's going to be a very interesting season. Maybe an interesting career of what's left of it after he's pulled the stunts he's pulled in the last 90 days. Ross Barkley is in a world of all of his own right now.
Yeah, it sounds to me like he had bad recommendations, bad representation. 100%. Everton,
oh my God.
Everton replaced him as well, which you didn't mention. Gylfi Sigurdsson came in for $45 million from Swansea.
You're right, Thomas, he did.
He is replaced, and Gylfi Sigurdsson is better than he is.
Oh, worlds better. No question.
So Everton finishes the window with spending upwards of $150 million, not including any kind of fee for Wayne Rooney. They got Sigurdsson, Pickford, Rooney, Klaassen, Sandro Ramirez, Michael Keane, and about five other players.
Yeah, they were doing all the business.
So
they had that done pretty quick.
They did. I don't think they filled the gap for Lukaku. I don't think Wayne Rooney can be that filler. We talked about him having a great season with 10 to 15 goals. That would be amazing for him. And he started out pretty well, but watching him in that Chelsea game, that's him against a good defense. So I don't see him, being good enough to carry Everton.
Absolutely not. No way. That's going to be a while before they fill the gap of a Lukaku.
Yeah, so I could see them sitting in like a 6th, 7th, more like a 7th, 8th kind of area, not 6th.
Exactly.
6th is a big deal now. But yeah, so Everton, would you say Everton, I guess they're winners. You know, they've never had a window like this. They spent like a big club. But Barkley still there. I'm not sure what convinced him to stay there. I mean, they already said, like you said, Koeman said he did not want him. He has one season remaining, and it's World Cup year.
Maybe he's scared. I don't know, because he's not going to play at Everton. I don't think he'd have played at Chelsea either. It's a pretty stacked up midfield they have, especially with the signing that they made at the end. But I think maybe he's just scared. I don't know. Like, who knows what's going through the mind of a one Ross Barkley? It's impossible to understand what that kid is doing.
Yeah.
He thinks he's worth more than what he's worth, obviously. I mean, that's not me speaking. That's the world speaking.
Yeah, so we touched on Everton's window and Barkley. Losing Lukaku is a big deal. Their overall net spending wasn't that bad because they made so much off Lukaku, but you know, they could have done a little bit more to replace him besides Wayne Rooney. I just feel like that was the wrong move. But
for sure. They spent a lot of money, but they didn't spend a lot of money on anyone that I feel is going to propel them into 5 or 6, which they have a problem getting past 7 or 8 right now. So you could spend $1 billion. If it's just on a bunch of squad players that are going to keep you exactly where you are, it's a waste of money. And I think that maybe at the end of the season, that's what we're going to find with Everton. They're going to be no better or worse than they were last season.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's just too hard to get in the top 6.
Yeah.
Keeping with the Ross Barkley, I mean, we can talk about Chelsea. You guys are saying that they had a bad window. They spent almost $200 million.
Again,
I don't think
it doesn't matter.
I think you guys are forgetting that they signed Bakayoko. We haven't really seen him play yet. I like the Rudiger depth, that center back. I mean, Morata looks like he can score goals. You and I can have reservations about him in the run of play.
I have reservations with Morata and Rudiger, honestly. Rudiger has been at the center of, I would say, more than half of the goals allowed that Chelsea has gotten scored on. So that's why I'm saying, and I'm not saying they had a bad window because of the players they brought in or the money that they spent. When you're a club like Chelsea, Two players that you've publicly made public targets being stolen from you in the middle of the night, seemingly, by two massive rivals can sometimes be the scar on the window and leave a bad taste in not only the club's mouth, but the fans' mouth as well. So you have Lukaku, who was, we already talked about this to the end of the ground, so I don't want to beat any more time into it, but we were already, you know, deciding what he would look like in that blue, Chelsea blue, and he's now wearing Man United red. Ox the same way. Like it was already agreed. Arsenal and Chelsea agreed to the signing, and then somehow Ox felt like he was going to be played as a wing back at Chelsea, and Liverpool promised him center midfielding opportunities, which I don't think he's ever going to get there, but we'll talk about that in a second too. And they lose out to Liverpool with Ox. So that's why it's a bad window. And the
Don't forget about losing Llorente to Tottenham.
Yeah, that's right. They lost Llorente to Tottenham at the last minute. But also, you know, I see where you guys are going with this. In terms of managing a window, yes, they probably had the worst window. In terms of the amount of players they actually brought in and the quality of the players, I think they brought in quality players. But their management from the whole Diego Costa thing starting in the spring, their management...
They can't manage to do anything.
We haven't even talked about that. Diego Costa, now apparently it's going to be a legal battle because he's signed up as one of their 25 registered players in the Prem, and he's in Brazil.
Yeah. This guy is awesome. This is going to be the thorn in Chelsea's side, and rightfully so, because he's been mistreated, disrespected, and it's unacceptable the way that both Conte and Chelsea have allowed the treatment of Costa to go. So more power to him. Good on him for what he's doing, honestly.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting happening, I guess. I don't know what he's going to do or what he's trying to do. But we talked about this before. When you come out and you make a player, make it publicly known that you don't want him, then you lost all your leverage. You can't transfer him for any kind of fee. And immediately their only suitor got banned. It's all their fault that he's still on their team. They're only suited. Yeah, it really couldn't have gotten worse. And now he's just making waves for you at a time when you don't need waves. I mean, Chelsea has survived these first three games and won a couple big ones. So they're not in crisis mode anymore.
No, but definitely not. Yeah,
I would agree. They mismanaged the window the most, although they did. I do believe they brought in quality. It's just a matter of time before they settle in, and they're still doing fine in the league, and they need to win. So
I was only saying because of the players they lost that they publicly made, you know, number one targets. You know, that's bad for a club like Chelsea.
That's a good point. So we were discussing teams that had the worst window. I threw out Arsenal right away.
100%.
You and I talked about it a little bit. Keeping Sanchez is a big deal, but apparently, I mean, the way you're keeping him is a little different.
On the very
last day of the transfer window, there was an agreement with Manchester City that would have seen me blow my top as Pep replaces every single player on his team, even when they're playing well, apparently.
He was going to get them for 55.
Yeah, there was an agreement there with Manchester City if Arsenal could sign Thomas Lemar from Monaco, and the agreement was apparently in place. It was like 90 million, by the
100
way.
100 million is what Arsenal...
Yeah, 100 or 90 million. I can't even imagine Arsenal spending that after all these seasons of not willing to go over 25 or 30.
They said they offer 100 million, and what makes Arsenal's transfer window even worse? Thomas Lemar says, thanks, but no thanks. I'll stay at Monaco.
Yep. Leaving the Sanchez deal dead in the water because they couldn't replace him, and apparently Sanchez is livid. I'm sure you saw that, Ken.
Exactly. So now, I will tell you this. 2 weeks ago, if now we're looking out, the window's closed, and we have Sanchez, I'm on cloud nine. I'm so high right now, you could not bring me down. Now, I almost wish we didn't have him. And it's only because now he's made it so publicly clear that he doesn't want to be here. I thought before in the summer, and this is Arsenal's fault for managing it the way they did. I thought that with the professionalism that Sanchez shows as like a player that just wants to win, that he'll play to win no matter what club he's on, even if he doesn't necessarily want to be there. Now I don't know if we'll be able to get 100% Alexis Sanchez this season. I think that this Sanchez still being here added to, you know, the public announcement that he doesn't want to be there. Mustafi publicly coming out saying he doesn't want to be here. He couldn't agree to personal terms with Inter. He's still here. Ox came out, said he wanted to leave. And let's not forget, ladies and gentlemen, that Ox is a substitute. And now we have a squad rotational player coming out saying, I don't think that Arsenal is the place for me to develop anymore. I want out. And then this guy goes and turns down Chelsea and goes to Liverpool. This guy, I mean, he's either really feeling himself or there's a real big issue with the locker room and the board and the manager at Arsenal. And then now what we're ended with, again, two players in Sanchez and Mustafi that publicly do not want to be here, that are still here because of whether it be a failed dealing or not being able to come to an agreement over personal terms. And we only brought in Lacazette and Kolasinac, and Kolasinac costs us nothing. And I'm not saying that, you know, the money makes the signing. Kolasinac, I think, is going to be a great signing for us. But we've only brought in two players, and now we have, you know, Sanchez, our best player, who it's a question mark if he's going to be able to play. So I don't know. I think that this makes January very interesting for Arsenal, and it makes the season even more of a big question mark.
Yeah, I can't imagine. You know, they always say in January there's 15 to 20% less value on the players, and the transfer fees go up because of supply and demand, basically. Teams don't want to give up players in the middle of the season.
City already said they're going to come back out. They're going to come back for Sanchez in January. And if anyone's going to pay a lot of money when it doesn't make sense, it's City, let's be honest.
Yeah, at that point, he'll have 6 months left on his contract. And on January 1st, Alexis Sanchez can start negotiations with any team he wants to because he's going on a free in the offseason.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't matter. Like at that point, it's a done deal. He doesn't play for us anymore. It's just a matter, can we get the most out of Sanchez for the next 35 games? And I'm crossing my fingers that we can. He stays professional. He, you know, he lives out the contract and he plays to his ability. Now it's time for him to just show the world and, you know, the suitor clubs that, you know, this is the kind of guy you get when you sign me. So that's really the only card we have now with Sanchez is you got to show these other clubs what you're worth.
Yeah, keeping with the Sanchez staying, Mustafi staying, how did you think Liverpool's window went? I thought it was pretty good myself. What did you think about it overall?
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, anytime you can stave off Barcelona coming for a player and they're offering, you know, I read articles like rumor milling, like that Barcelona had offered close to 200 million for him. I mean, if you're going to be turning down that kind of cash for Coutinho, who hasn't played the whole season and they're not doing that bad, by the way, you know, you've all but filled the gap with him and the players you already have. So you could have let him go. It looks like anyway. I mean, it's a long season, so, you know, it's not bad to have a Coutinho, you know, ready to come in now, knowing that he's a Liverpool player. And, you know, the intentions have been made by Liverpool that you're not going anywhere. So we'll see. But I think they had a great window. I don't know where Ox plays in, honestly. I don't think that he's good enough to be, you know, to play, you know, immediately in the club because he's not good enough to play in Arsenal. So, I mean, usually you're not going to sign someone sub. It's kind of a weird move to me. You signed a rival substitute. I don't get it. But, I mean, that's why we sit on the couch and just give our opinions on everything, I guess. But we'll see. But I think they have great signs. Salah, keeping Coutinho. I mean, come on. They had a great window.
Salah, Robertson comes in to be that left back that they need. Chamberlain signing, you and I both agree on that. You signed someone else's substitute.
It's good for depth. I mean, they got a lot more games to play. I mean, that could be what it was. Like he could just be a depth player.
Yep, they were, and they got Solanke, another depth player from Chelsea. Actually, he's a youth player. He's real young. He's like 19, 20. So, but Salah looks brilliant. He fits in perfectly already with Mane and Firmino up top, rolling around up there. And if you can get Coutinho, who I heard Ken was crying in the locker room before qualifier match because his Barcelona move didn't go through. I really hope that's not true. But it fits this window's theme, which is that you might have amazing amounts of cash, but these teams have enough financial stability to keep their players. And this is true of Sanchez. They didn't have to give him up, so they didn't. This is true of Coutinho. This is true of Van Dijk at Southampton.
Oh, these teams,
these teams are saying, you can offer us 50, 60 million, which at going into this transfer window would have put them in the top 15, 10 transfers of all time in the world.
Yeah, now that's free. That's free now.
Yeah, because of Neymar blew the doors off the transfer window. Now we don't know how the actual market is going to settle. Dembele going for 100 is
over 100.
Over 100 is a little bit absurd. Mbappe, of course, did finally move. Ken, I just want to throw that in there real quick. On loan, and the future fee is supposed to be around $150 million. That's what's reported at.
I just don't understand that. Like, what is Monaco trying to – what image are they trying to put out this season? Now, like, you held out all this whole time. You turned down hundreds of millions of dollars for this player. At the end of the day, to let him go play for another club for a loan fee? And a future fee? Give me a break.
Let him play for the team that finished in second behind you last year and now wants to pass you by taking your best player. Not only that, but with PSG spending on Neymar, they also had financial fair play. Apparently, they're getting looked into by UEFA. We'll see if there's anything to that because UEFA came out publicly and said, we're going to look into your finances, spending $180 on Neymar and then basically getting Mbappe on loan with a future transfer fee to be negotiated. It seems a little shady, but it all added up to the same thing, which is that PSG blew the doors off the market, and now we don't know where we stand. We don't know what a mediocre player costs. We don't know what a high-end player costs, or whether it's just going to be this 100. One window.
They all cost 100.
I don't know if that can be. I don't think
it's
you
not
can.
Sustainable.
That's for sure.
I don't think it is. But anyway, back to the theme, which is clubs actually keeping their players and saying we don't need to sell. Liverpool keeps Coutinho. I believe Coutinho will do a little better than Sanchez, at least on the short run, because it wasn't like Coutinho was trying to force his way out for the last year. Coutinho signed a 5-year agreement in January. This is why you don't get to move Coutinho. You just signed a contract.
Yeah, the reason you signed it. Are you really crying in the locker room like a baby? Get over yourself. You've got massive wages coming your way for a good club. Go out there and play. Respect the club that you signed a piece of paper for. That's ridiculously absurd to me. And if it's me, like, I might let Coutinho just sit on the bench for a little while. Get your compose yourself a little bit, Coutinho, before you're going to put on a Liverpool jersey again and play for me. Are you crazy? You're not bigger than the club.
No, and they've shown that Liverpool with a couple big wins, obviously smoking Arsenal 4-0 was a big deal. I'm just saying they've scored a lot of goals and they don't seem to really miss Coutinho.
Yeah.
But now they have him, which is a big deal.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's not even like, to your point, the club's saying, if you want him, I mean, offer us way over the odds and we might consider it. No, because they offered way over the odds for Coutinho. Coutinho's a great player, but I mean, again, maybe he is worth more than 100 now, but it's not a matter of just the club saying, we're not selling you these players. We're not selling these players, even though they've handed in transfer requests.
Yeah, that's absolutely
true.
That's
how much we don't care about the cash anymore.
Yeah, it's a big deal to see the finances.
I mean, the player used to come out and say, oh, yeah, you know, I don't really like the weather here. Oh, we're set. We're shipping them out. We're shipping him out. He doesn't play for us anymore. We don't need dissension in the locker room. Now, I mean, you can go out and write a paper about how you don't want to play for the club, and you still play for that club.
Yeah, especially if you have a 5-year contract.
It's wild.
The first year of
especially
it.
If you have a 5-year contract and you're, 6 months into it?
Yeah. So moving on from Liverpool, who I think had a pretty good window, keeping Coutinho looking good early. And they prepare themselves for Champions League football. Moving on to City, Ken and I have been very critical about the amount of money they've spent. More that Pep seems to have thrown a fit in the offseason and saying, these aren't my players. I can't win with these guys. So what I need is you to buy me a whole new team.
Exactly. And it wasn't like he didn't come into a project. He came into a club that was already built to succeed. City fans, City supporters, I do not come from a place of, you know, absolute disrespect when I say this, but I do think he came in very arrogant. Let's be honest, he hasn't had to work too hard in the clubs he's come from and gone to in the last couple of years. So when you come to England and you realize that there's more than two or three teams to play, like, I don't know. Now you got a lot of work to do, because if you don't win the league this season, you're going to have a lot of questions to answer, Mr. Guardiola. And I don't think that you're going to be able to, because I haven't really heard you answer a question yet. You like to blame a lot of people and make a lot of excuses. But now that you've got your starting 11, you know, you're benching Aguero. Nothing else needs to be said. You're benching Aguero because you brought in Jesus, who is I'm not going to say he's never going to be an Aguero, but he's not right now. And you play with what you got, and right now you got Aguero. That's crazy to me. It's crazy.
You got a top three. You got at least a top three striker in the league. Maybe the best striker in the league. I mean, that's arguable, definitely. But I'm just saying they have something there. They went out and bought an entire new defense.
Pretty much a new defense, and almost a whole new club.
Yeah, overall, over the 2 years, almost a whole new club for Pep Guardiola. He added another
season?
Goal. He's already started to replace players that he bought last year.
Exactly. He brought in another goalie.
Yeah, well, he bought another goalie for $35 million, which is everybody says it's the second highest fee agreed. Last time I checked, that was more than Buffon. Buffon was always listed as 32, so they're trying to.
I thought 35 was like that had to be high, the highest one for a goalie.
I think it is, but it's weird. I've heard conflicting reports. The bottom line is they pay a ton for a goalie coming out of the Portuguese league so he can play with his feet. But they bought a whole new defense. They got three new outside backs to the tune of $120 million, which is absurd.
A lot of money for some wingbacks.
Apparently, the reports I read said Mendy broke the defensive record, which they broke last year when they signed John Stones.
50.
Yeah, so you got Kyle Walker for 50, Mendy for between 50 and 60, Danilo for 27, and of course Bernardo Silva was bought early in the window for 43. I mean, they spent a ton of money, over $200 million. I just think there are no excuses for them not winning the league, and Ken, I do not think they're going to win the league.
I would agree at this point, and only because they haven't played really tough, like real tough opposition yet, and they've struggled to get results. I mean struggled is that's a harsh term.
No, I think that's a fair term.
I mean, they always look like they were going to win it, but are they winning it in the means of like that? Yeah, it should be easier with the amount of money and the amount of players that they have that don't even play, that are on the bench. I mean, their bench could arguably start on 14 or 15 of EPL clubs today. And, you know, they're limping into victories.
Real quick, Tyler, that's one thing I wanted to say when we got to Manchester City is that I feel like they are in a place where Arsenal was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, where if they get one key injury in a few different positions, they're kind of screwed with, I mean, look at their forwards. They have four forwards to play three different positions. One of those people go down, they're in a bad way. They also only have three fullbacks that are really going to play. So
they signed fullbacks that don't want to play defense. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's not wingbacks that want to score goals and cross into the opposition's box and then don't want to come back. That's why they're going to get hit on the counter so much.
Again,
that's why they're struggling right now, because if you look at their games, they don't have enough people back. I mean, they eventually get back, but that's also because of the opposition they're playing. I mean, when they get into a legitimate top seven, top six club, like, I wouldn't be surprised to see an Everton roll in there and just, you know, smash them, or even like a Stoke go in there, you know, get a one, even like a 1-2 victory. I wouldn't be surprised. Like, there are a lot of clubs that I think are going to be able to take advantage of the inefficiencies that Pep Guardiola has given Manchester City. And then it's only going to lead to questions, because like Tom said, I do not believe either that they're going to win the league. I don't believe maybe that they're even going to finish in second. It's a possibility, yeah. But I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I agree completely.
But yeah, no, I agree with you. What are you saying, Tyler?
Finishing struggling early. What were you saying, Tyler?
No, I was just saying that I believe that they do have a great bench in certain positions, but there's at least three different positions where if they lose a key player, they're going to be in a bad way.
That's true of every team, though, in my opinion. I mean,
it is more so in Manchester City, because they get on these little crusades where I'm going to buy 100 defenders. But like, remember when the money first came into City? What'd they buy? 10 strikers?
They bought like four. I think they bought four.
Seriously, but they weren't. But at that time, they were only playing one striker up front. Like, what were they doing? They had so many strikers, they never even played, and that was the big issue going in. They had a lot of these players that wanted to leave, but they couldn't because they signed them to these outlandish wages. So
yeah,
I see what Tyler's saying. But so, well, I mean, yeah, but that's just something that we'll have to see. I mean, a lot of clubs go a whole season without any injuries and just get lucky like that.
Moving on to one of those clubs, that would be Tottenham Hotspur last year. Really only had one injury to Harry Kane to contend with all season last year. They missed him for about a month and a half.
Yeah.
But they did sign some depth. We were talking, you need players. They stole Llorente from Chelsea, which I think is a terrific depth signing. I think he's perfect for group stage games. If you lose Harry Kane, you still have him. I think he's a good player.
Who did they sign Llorente from? Swansea?
Swansea, yeah. For 12.
Yeah.
Swansea subsequently signed Wilfred Boney, who I thought I completely forgot was playing for City.
He wasn't playing
at all. Tottenham also signs Serge Aurier, who is with PSG. Ivory Coast player. I always thought he was a pretty strong player. I understand he has kind of a mottled background now. They were saying he got in a fight with a police officer or something. That would not fit in at Tottenham. I thought that was interesting. They have that kind of like clean cut image, and I don't think it will be a problem. But there were some whispers that Aurier might be an issue.
I've read those articles too. Yeah, that's for no one to deal with except for Ponch. So he obviously feels like, you know, he can, you know, kind of center his emotional, you know, imbalance and do good things for Tottenham. So I think Pochettino is a pretty good manager, and he does get the most out of the players that he has. So it might be, you know, a good thing for Aurier to come over and, you know, just kind of play with Tottenham and just kind of stay under the radar, because that's what Tottenham does best. Just stays right under the radar.
Yep, and they get their wins. Harry Kane will start scoring soon, I'm sure. He said now that it's September, he'll score some goals for everybody.
He said that. I missed that one.
I thought that was pretty funny. Also, Tottenham signs Davinson Sanchez from Ajax for $39 million, a center back. Again, more good Champions League depth. Overall, I think Tottenham had ended with an above average window, I guess, especially the way it was going. It's hard to say like that they were having a bad window, because they hadn't signed anybody. And Danny Rose is still there too.
It wasn't bad to them because they'd come out and said, we don't need anybody.
Yeah, but they also had a one away player going with the theme of this transfer window. Danny Rose said, they haven't signed anybody. I want to go. Basically, he was trying to get a move to Manchester United, although Manchester United never really made eyes at any outside backs. So I don't know what he was trying to do. But now he's on Tottenham. And
who's
making
eyes at Danny Rose anyway? I mean, for goodness sake, it's Danny Rose.
I mean, he's not a bad player, but they replaced him pretty quickly. I think he will fit in well there. They need to get his head screwed on right. He did a couple interviews, one in particular where he said that Tottenham doesn't have Manchester City like players, right, where you go in the field and you're overwhelmed, which is interesting to me, Ken, because you and I always talk about it, and I talk about it with Dr. Pete, our Tottenham fan, and he's saying, yeah, we still match up as a best 11, and he's absolutely right. They do match up as a best 11 in terms of overall players per position. You can still say that they have one of the strongest teams in the Prem, and now they have added some depth.
A lot of clubs match up to a starting 11, and it comes down to what I was talking about last week when it comes to management. A lot of things are down to the manager leading the squad out week in, week out. Does that manager want to win? Does that manager need to win? If the manager doesn't want to or doesn't need to win because there's not enough pressure or whatever, or he's too old, or he's done what he wants to do in his career, that's an issue. You can have the best 11 players in the universe and you're not going to win if the manager is not uplifting the club and giving the club what it needs, which is talking to's, accountability, you know, an authority figure, someone to say, I'm where the buck stops, buddy. And if you got an issue with it, go to the bench. If they're going to keep allowing the same things go on and go on and go on, then you're going to have those issues all the time. And that's what certain clubs have in the league, you know.
So sounds like you're preparing yourself for another Arsene Wenger rant.
I'm not going to go on Arsene Wenger rant anymore because you know, like I said, I'm over him. And I think that, you know, you're not going to coax me into this, Tom. It's done.
I won't do it. We'll talk about transfer winners and losers. We'll end it here and just say that, you know, overall, I think that the top clubs, in my opinion, added enough quality with the exception of Arsenal, but they never do. So if we were expecting them to, then it's on us. I like Lacazette. I like Kolasinac. I think they're good players, but the rest of their window was marred with their early start and their poor performance, especially in that Liverpool match. The rest of the top six, I think, did well enough. Even Chelsea, they signed enough quality. They just mismanaged their window horribly, and I think Conte has a ton of egg on his face. But I think that, you know, overall, the top six did pretty well.
Absolutely.
So moving on to our next segment, which will be, we have some fan mail. I don't know how you guys want to break this one down, because we got a pretty well-written and well-thought-out email, basically talking to Ken, in particular, about the Liverpool versus Arsenal game.
A nerve with a Liverpool fan, it seems.
and which is not a surprise, I believe you'll be striking a lot of nerves this year, but basically saying that Liverpool, we should have given Liverpool more credit than we did and spent less time on Arsenal. So I want to start, because I know you, when you get on your rant, you're gonna have all your steam, but I'll just say that the reason we spent so much time on Arsenal is because that, to me, is a stronger storyline, as it was across Europe on all the papers, was the dismay and the disaster that was Arsenal after that match. Liverpool will do that. They will roll through teams. When their offense is clicking, they'll roll through teams. They will also roll through teams, get up 3-0, and drop a 3-0 lead. So for Liverpool to go ahead and roll on all cylinders is a story, but not much as much of a story as Arsenal getting destroyed for nothing.
Exactly right. So, yeah, exactly. Sometimes the team that just comes out and plays so miserably, Liverpool could have come out with five players and won that game 4-0. It was just one of those days. Arsenal just wasn't up for it. And when a club like Arsenal comes out and displays the type of play that they did on that particular day against that particular Liverpool, it was never going to be a good story. It was always going to be a case of how many goals does Arsenal lose by. So there wasn't much to say. I mean, about the Liverpool, they played great. Everything was, they were all cylinders, firing on all of them. The passing was great. The hustle was great. The final ball was great. The final throw was great. They found the net every single time, basically, that they shot. Arsenal never even had a shot. They did everything properly. I mean, I guess that's what you wanted to hear. Now you've heard it. And we will roll into this email. Only I'm just going to touch on it. And the person who wrote the email knows. The one, let's start with the beginning. Suffering from Wengeritis. Obviously, you didn't listen to all of it, sir. I'm calling for the guy to go. I don't have Wengeritis. I have a basic knowledge of the starting 11 of Arsenal is a little bit better than the starting 11 of Liverpool. That's just my personal opinion. And everyone's going to have their own. Every club's going to stack up, just like Tom said. The top six are going to stack up to the top six all the time. The players that you mentioned, Coutinho, Mane, Salah, Firmino, and Sturridge, you mentioned Arsenal players that don't start. So we have to go to a starting 11 that goes. And it's not going to be a tit-for-tat thing. It's going to be like a player for player, like a good player for a good player. So I think Ozil, I think Sanchez, Lacazette, Giroud being the super sub coming in makes them dominant players on the pitch. Mentioning, you know, you have Lovren as a defender that to be mentioned. Sir, I implore you. Lovren is not a good defender, and you know that. You definitely know that. Also, Klein, I mean, and you say any Klein, Robertson, Milner, I got a soft spot for Milner. So I'm not going to even, I won't disrespect Milner. But a lot of these guys you mentioned, I mean, they don't touch a Koscielny, who is arguably one of the better defenders in the league when he's on his day, which he's on his day more times than not. We've got Kolasinac, the new guy coming in, playing great. Nacho Monreal is very stable. Mustafi, even though he wants to go, sorry for him, he didn't get to go. It's best for us that he gets to stay. We've got a good defense, a very, very long depth of midfielders. And with Giroud staying on top, with Lacazette starting, now with Sanchez on the side, we've still kept Ozil here. We have a great club. I'm not suffering from Wengeritis because, again, I want him to go. I want him to go in January, honestly. At this point, I want him fired in January. I'd rather the team go managerless after January. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. I don't make those decisions. But what I do feel in a not partial view to Arsenal, that Arsenal has a better core 11 than Liverpool does. And I'll just leave it at that. But thank you for your email. Continue sending them, ladies and gentlemen. We love your questions and comments.
Yep. And so you've pretty much given your response to it, which, I mean, who's better, Liverpool or Arsenal? To me, it's really tight. I guess you would have to go man for man, like you said.
Week in, week out. I mean, it's going to be different. Yeah, I don't think that these two clubs are going to ever go, you know, like five in a row against each other.
Yeah, and I know it's easy to get ahead of ourselves and see Liverpool win 4-0, but This is the same Liverpool squad that tied Watford 3-3. So we don't need to get too far ahead of Arsenal. Arsenal has lost their last two matches, which makes them an easy target. Wenger always makes them an easy target. But that being said, they habitually finish in the Champions League position. And I think Alexis Sanchez, if he's playing, which he hasn't been, essentially, except for that Liverpool game, which he didn't really show up in, he is a World Player of the Year candidate.
Because
he's a World Player of the Year candidate. And Liverpool, at this time, does not have one of those.
I think what we saw
that makes a difference.
And Sanchez on the Liverpool game was the Sanchez that he thought in his heart of hearts he was out. And that was going to be his last game, and he didn't want to have anything to do with it. But now that he's here, I have to believe that we're going to get 100% Sanchez. It's the only thing we can do. Because he's going to want to play because he wants to play his way out of the club.
Yep. So between 11s, they're very tight. I do think Liverpool will finish over Arsenal this year. I think they have a good vibe going. That being said, it just takes one of these games where they switch off and their defense gets thwacked. And all of a sudden, Liverpool is in crisis as well. I mean, that's what they were after letting three goals up to Watford. They were freaking out. Everybody wanted a new defense, etc. They didn't get a new defense. It's gonna be interesting. I think Liverpool will finish in fourth again, but I think Arsenal will finish a little farther back. And I don't think it's the players in terms of their quality. I think that Arsene Wenger's message is stale, and it's time for him to go. That's just my opinion. So I don't think it's between the two 11s, but I give Liverpool a slight edge in terms of the standings for the year. All right, Ken?
Yeah.
All right, so we will move on to our top six picks. We'll finally make those decisions. Ken, you ready for this?
Go ahead.
All right, this is hard for me because it is into the season. We did this intentionally so the rosters will be finalized, but it's hard for me to look past Manchester United in first place just because...
Surprise, surprise.
I know. Jose's second year. I didn't want to do it. I wanted to pick somebody else, but my second place team is actually a surprise. I think it'll be Tottenham. I think they'll keep doing this thing where they stay under the radar. They'll keep beating the teams they need to beat. I like their depth. I like the way they play. I like Poch. And I think they have the least amount of noise, which is a big deal. Third place, I have City. Fourth place, I have Liverpool. Fifth place, I have Chelsea. The reason I feel that way is just because this noise that comes into their club and the way they win their matches, I don't believe you're going to see them score 22 free kick goals, although they've already scored a couple of huge ones. I don't believe that they'll be able to replicate that. They have a ton more games. I'm worried for them about Morata's play up front. I know he's got a goal and two assists. Did you see him talk? Two goals, two assists. Did you see him saying that the English defenders are just brutes and it's easy for him to move around them? They just tackle him more often.
Who said that?
Morata said that the English defenders aren't better. They're just brutes, and it's easy for him to find positioning. It's not you don't have as much time in the box, he said, but the positioning is much easier. They get confused.
Now, I do hear that, and it's not the time for excuse-making, Morata. It's the time to start making your $70 million pound price tag. And excuses won't get you anywhere. English media will eat you up for that.
Yeah, I just feel like Chelsea, they got a lot of things going their way last year. Not a lot of big injuries. And, you know, they had a 13-game winning streak. And it takes, trust me, as a Manchester United fan that watched them shut out teams for 11 games in a row, it takes a ton of luck to do those kind of things. And with any bit of luck that goes against you, I just feel like Chelsea is not built to fight against that. I feel like Conte drops his shoulders a little bit easily. I do think he's a good manager. I just feel like this year, the good vibes that happened last year, everything went their way. With them mismanaging Costa, getting rid of a player like that, I just feel like this is not going to be a good year for them. And I know I'll catch flack for it, but I they got more games. We'll see what happens with the Champions League. And they're doing okay right now. They did have an ugly early loss that they bounced back from, but I feel like Chelsea will finish in fifth and Arsenal will finish in sixth because of Arsene Wenger. That completes my top six, Ken. How about you?
I have unfortunately, any club that I'm going to say that's not Arsenal's name is going to hurt my feelings, but I will not go and say Arsenal just to make people upset because I would lose credibility, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Man United, I think, is going to win the league if we're going off transfer window and current form. There is no question about it. They are rolling through the clubs they should be rolling through, and they just passed what I thought was their first, you know, medium-sized test in Leicester, and it was simple for them. So right now, I don't see anyone stopping Man U. I don't think they're going to go, you know, won't be undefeated. I mean, they're going to get their losses for sure. League is too hard, but I think that they're going to be able to overcome virtually any challenge put their way this season. Mourinho seems to really have the old boys and the new boys of the club firmly locked into position, and they look unstoppable right now. I think also Tottenham will finish second. Just because, you know, they run under the radar a lot, and that does help a club when you're not dealing with the everyday nuanceical rumor mill goings on of England. I think Chelsea finishes third just because, again, I think Conte is, you know, for whatever it's worth, he's a good manager. He's bad man manager, but he gets results. It's not every day that someone comes in their first season and wins the league, handedly, mind you, wins the league. And again, they brought in players that were good. I mean, is Morata going to be able to fill the shoes of a Diego Costa? So far, no. And it could be argued that Costa's attitude brings a lot to Chelsea, too.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, his on-field antics really get into the heads of the opposition. And if Morata's three games in, he didn't even play. He started, the third game? But he didn't even start the first two, and he's already excuse-mongering? Man, what a joke. What a joke.
And he does have two goals to assist. I'll keep saying that. He does.
Who cares?
But
you're a striker. You're supposed to have two goals.
Impressive.
You're supposed to. But yeah, he's playing well. But, I mean, it doesn't – just shut up. Play your position and keep your mouth quiet. You start scoring 30, 40 goals, then come out and say what you say your piece about the league. But, yeah, be respectful of where you are. City will finish fourth, I think, just because I don't foresee that starting 11 by default finishing outside the top four. I don't think it will have anything to do with Pep. I think the only thing that will have to do with Pep is them finishing fourth, which is one spot worse than they did last season. And I think it will just ring true that he is grossly underestimating the work that it takes to be successful in England. Liverpool, I think, will finish fifth, and that's simply because of the way they eked into fourth. And I do not think that they will, even with the signings they made, they will have the mental capacity to go 38 games in the league plus Champions League and finish in fourth again. And then Arsenal, for no other reason than the fact that Arsene Wenger is still the manager, we will finish sixth. And judging by the way we've started, the way that our transfer window ended, I think that might be nice, but I don't think that, you know, the Evertons or the Bournemouths or, you know, what we thought of was going to be the West Hams that are going to finish seventh and above are good enough to break the top six. And that is why Arsenal will finish sixth.
Yeah, I think that's good reasoning for sure. That is our top six. That completes it. We could touch on the other teams, but honestly, I think it's just going to be a free-for-all. Like, I don't see any of those teams really sticking out beyond seventh. We thought it would be Everton, maybe. Everton should be favored to finish seventh, but there's a lot of those other guys there. Who knows what any of them are going to do, what Leicester's going to do. We just don't know, so we won't really get into depth on them. We will move forward, Ken, real quickly. We'll do a real quick U.S. recap. Real tough weekend for us.
Bad.
Losing 2-0 to Costa Rica.
In New York.
At home, again, playing like an away team at home. Costa Rica has, 5 million people? I mean, they're a good team.
They have 5 million people, and one of their players does not play for a club.
Yeah, we gave them a little too much respect, I think, although they were very, very well organized. They played very well. They did make the quarterfinals in the last World Cup. They are a decent team. That being said, with the amount of players that we have playing abroad and the quality of the players, more importantly, that we have, especially with our European players playing, Pulisic and Wood playing up top, there's no reason that we shouldn't take this game to Costa Rica. And instead of taking it to them, we got tricked by the old kick it past the last defender in on them.
It was terrible. Pulisic was god awful, by the way. This is probably the worst game I've ever seen him play in. I don't know.
He's young. He did play
the German league's got him kind of tired in the beginning, but he looked terrible. Like, he might need a break from the national team. He looked that bad to me. You know who didn't look bad to me? Graham Zusi.
I knew you were going to say he looked good,
and you know he did, and that's why you know I was going to say it.
I read an article we had in defense,
he was not the problem. Now,
no, he wasn't.
No, we did. This game, it could be summed up very quickly. We were the second to the ball. We didn't want it, and we got destroyed on two very, very bad defensive errors. One with Tim Ream just getting completely put out of position, and the other one with, what's his name? Jeff Cameron passed the ball right to the striker. Never, never should a club playing a back four get dismantled by a team playing one striker the way that we did over this past weekend. It was a bad defensive showing, but Graham Zusi defense will start right now. He played great. He really did. And that is why he is. And you know he is. He was really good, Tom.
There's nobody else to play, so he is going to be on it. Because they would play somebody else if they could. He doesn't even play. He just started playing right back for his club team. Anyway, he was not a problem in this game.
Not a problem.
The problem was exactly what you said. Tim Ream got absolutely worked on that first goal. Absolutely worked. He was out of position too, but he had a chance to shut the guy down.
That was a crazy angle too. I mean, let's give credit to the striker. I mean, he was closer to the goal line than he was to being in the middle of the pitch. I mean, the fact that he even got the shot, one, on target enough to get past Tim Howard, I mean, was enough. But even at 1-0, 2-0 just made it more fair to Costa Rica because they outplayed us and outworked us, and they wanted it more than we did. And I think that also a little bit of this can be put on the manager. Bruce Arena he acted too late. Anyone who's watched a soccer game in their entire life could have known that we needed to make attacking adjustments at halftime. To wait to the 65th minute to bring in Dempsey and, like, what, the 80th minute to bring in Morris? Give me a break.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't change the formation until it was too late.
The plan was not working, and they should have changed it earlier. I agree. Now, this leaves the U.S. in a precarious position. They still have a really strong chance to qualify.
Yeah.
They have to beat Honduras at Honduras, which is
without Josie Altidor because he's an idiot and got a yellow card for chesting that player to the ground.
I think they'll be fine without Josie Altidor. They close with Panama at home and Trinidad and Tobago on the road, whereas Honduras, who's a team that's competing with us for that last spot, plays Costa Rica and home to Mexico. So yeah. Honduras has a much rougher road, but no doubt about it, Ken, this next game is really big. If you finish in fourth, you play a playoff with the Asians, fifth place finisher, which is usually honestly really not that good. So U.S. still has a good chance, but you have to show up against Honduras.
Hey, what about Dempsey stepping outside of his uniform in the 90th? Freaking elbowed that guy right in the chest. He's lucky not to see a red. That was awesome, though. You need that, man. And that's why Dempsey's still on the team. You need that attitude, that fire coming out.
Yeah.
They didn't even look like they cared they were losing 2-0. Dempsey just goes and rolls that guy. And then he gets in that one guy's face. It was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah, we love Dempsey. Absolutely. So
I need to get next goal, though.
And we got work to do, Ken. We got work to do.
For sure. For sure.
So we'll close out this week by saying go USA against Honduras. It's on the 5th, I believe, and it is at Honduras, so big match there. But we're rooting for him, obviously, and we're hoping for a better performance. Arena knows it. He said it after the game. So let's go USA, and then we're going to roll into the Prem next week, and we'll have some matches to talk about, Ken.
Yeah, we're back. We're back next week. Thank God. It's been a long weekend without it.
We've got a bunch of matches coming up. I don't think there's any Premier matches. Did you see anything that stuck out to you as a... Oh, yeah, there's a City-Liverpool match. City-Liverpool. I forgot about that.
That'll be good.
City-Liverpool at City is a good match. Besides that, I don't know. I don't see anything else.
Yeah, it could
City-Liverpool is the big one.
Could be a subpar weekend. I mean, you got Leicester home to Chelsea. Everton and Tottenham. So, I mean, we'll see.
Everton-Tottenham's good.
Everton-Tottenham, because, I mean, Everton's one of those clubs, you know, that can go... Like, that could, maybe they could give a fight for the six. I just don't think they're going to get into the six.
Yeah. Well, we have that.
United plays Stoke.
At that Stoke match that we always talk about at Stoke. If you can get a win there, you are golden. And Arsenal gets to rebuild themselves against Bournemouth at home.
God.
We have a decent slate. I like Tottenham Everton. I didn't see that one. I like Tottenham Everton. And City Liverpool is the big one. That is the early match on Saturday. So get up early for that one and get to see some good Prem stuff. I don't have anything else to add to that, Ken. Do you?
I got nothing.
All right. Well, I hope everybody has an awesome week. And we will talk to you guys next week. For Ken Lee and Tyler Offeld, I will say goodbye.